We welcome you to the Media Ministries of the Gathering Church in the Countryside YMCA of Mainville. As we love the Lord and each other, we're trusting that God would use us to plant a church in every YMCA around the world. To this end, would you join us? We meet on Sundays at 10 a.m. and in community groups throughout the week. As you listen to this resource, our prayer is that your love for Jesus would grow deep and your love for others would be seen and heard.
Well, welcome to church. We are excited to be here. Mamas, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. What a good day. At this time, kids, before you're dismissed, give Mom a big smooch right on the lips, and we'll go from there. So ages 7 and below can head on back to the gathering lights, and I bet we'll need some help closing those doors once everyone takes off, so maybe someone can grab a door. Hey, two things before we jump into the message today that'll be related to mamas, okay? One is that we got a new speaker. I don't know if you realize that, but just one thing in the life of our church. Just wanted to thank you for your faithful giving. We were actually able to save $2,000 because a bunch of dudes installed it for us from our church. So praise the Lord and just stewarding God's money. So I hope you can hear okay. Cleans things up, saves some time on setup, and yeah, we're grateful. The other thing is that John Grote got married last night, and it's pretty cool. Yes, he married a gal named Margie. Some of you might have met her, but she's just a peach. She's wonderful. Hannah and I were at the wedding last night, and it was just awesome. Weddings are so cool. It's such a great opportunity to proclaim the gospel. But I'm sure they'll be here maybe next week or the week afterwards. Make sure you say hi, give them a hug. You know, have them over, take them out to lunch. Like you know, just welcome that new couple because God has done a great work and has been so kind in their life. It's just awesome. So look out for them. Hey, today for Mother's Day, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. So if you would, take out your Bibles and open somewhat near the middle of it. If you're in Psalms, you're near, and you'll find Psalms, Proverbs. We today, I don't know if this is already said, but today we're celebrating motherhood. So anyone who is a mom or has a mom, right, which would be all of us in here, or maybe even just someone who has been motherly to you, we want to just celebrate motherhood. And as a result, as you walk out today, there's some flowers for you on the way out. Take a flower and just remember and cherish that God is kind and He gives us moms, and it's awesome. I love doing this. Every year, we give the kids, a week before Mother's Day, a little questionnaire. And so, moms, get ready. There was all sorts of, like, awesome questions asked. I would say this might be the best crop of answers we've had yet. They are so funny. They are so funny. So get ready. Yes, I'm really excited to just deliver these. So, all right, so one strange occurrence that happened. One of the first questions on this questionnaire was, my mom is blank years old, and someone amongst the kids must have been like a leader and answered first, because we got an overwhelmingly response. This might discourage some, this might encourage some. Overwhelm, all our moms in here are age 41. All the moms. So it's like, you know, one kid was like, my mom's 41, and then the rest of them like, 41, 41, 41. I thought that was like mildly funny, but buckle up for some of these answers. One of my favorite questions was, my mom smells like, okay? The majority of the answers were like, lavender, peppermint. One kid wrote, the beach. But one kid just said, weird. Isn't that great? And the thing is, only Paul and I know who wrote that. Only Paul and I. And that answer of who said that will ever be locked up in the pastoral vault of secrets. It will never, ever go out, we promise. So that same kid who said, my mom smells weird, the question was, if you were given $1 million, what would you give mom or something like that? Like, some kids were like, oh, I'd give her a beach house, I'd buy her a house, and da, 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 da. And this calculated kid wrote, I would give my mom $200,000 of it. 200. It's like, of course. All right. She gets a split. Like, you know, she had something to do with me being here. And so I will give her a portion of it. All right. I'm going to call out some names. Here we go. Zoe Bastin had something on her mind at the time because all her answers found something. There was a consistency. So one of the questions my mom always says, and there's, you know, all sorts of answers. Most of them were like, I love you, and da, 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 da. Zoe, my mom always says, I don't get a lollipop. And then the question, I hope she knows that. I hope she knows I can't eat lollipops. So there's a lot of like lollipop discussions. Surely she's single-minded. Is she single-minded? Yeah, okay. All right, Brandy, here we go. Brandy really wants her mom to know this important thing. I liked cooked carrots. Out of all the things, Whitney, you need to know this. I like cooked carrots. One of the questions, if my mom was a princess, she would be, there's a lot of sweet answers. Belle is like, of course, a great selection because of her beauty. Some wrote Moana, Elsa, but I really like Josh and Micah Walters' answer. They said, ready for this one, Kristen? Sometimes sleeping, always beauty. Yeah, that's a good one, huh? Yeah, I know, touche, yeah. And this one is very sweet, sentimental. Overall, this one sums up the value and role of mamas in our life. So one person wrote, I hope she knows that I want to be just like her, and she is my built-in best friend. Isn't that good? Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's go to God's Word. If you're visiting here, welcome. We do this every Sunday where we read the Bible and we watch it come alive. The Holy Spirit wrote it. And he wrote it for us to know God and to grow in him. And so I pray that this message would bless everyone because it's God's word, but especially that it would encourage and equip moms in their significant role in this life. We're going to be in chapter 31. And don't freak out on me. If you've been in the scriptures, if you've known the word for a while, you know that Proverbs 31 is about, you know, the godly wife or the noble, the dignified wife. And you might like go, oh, I can never measure up or whatever. But this, we're just going to land in one verse. It's verse 25. And we're actually just going to spend all our time in the latter half of verse 25. And let me just say right off the get-go that this is a great verse to aspire to. We are all on a journey. No one is perfect. But when you have Christ and he helps you grow, this verse, I pray, will be growing in us, the truths that come from it, the fruit that comes from it, and the Lord will help us. The Lord will help us get there. So we're going to be in Proverbs 31:25. If you don't have your Bibles on the screen for you, let me read it. This is out of the New Living Translation this morning. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. You like that verse? She laughs without fear of the future. And that's where we're going to land, that last part. She laughs without fear of the future. We're going to talk about what laughing means, what it means to live in such a way, to be without fear. We're going to talk about the future. And so we're just going to mine this phrase for all of its glory. The title today is She Laughs. I chose this passage. The Lord led me to it. Earlier in this year, Hannah and I, kind of like, not by accident, because we don't believe things happen by accident, but we read this verse together and said, we need this in our life, because there's a lot of things in our life that we could be fearful about, anxious about. We're in a current chapter where our oldest is graduating high school in just like a week. Our second born, you know, getting her license and all that entails. Our third born graduating middle school and going to high school. Our last born graduating the fifth grade and going into middle school. Like, there's a lot. This year is kind of like this big year for change, and which means a big opportunity to become anxious about our life and to not enjoy the process. And to not enjoy what's coming, but be like, what about, what? And so we really have said, this is our verse this year. And it's been our prayer to laugh at the things that are coming in the future. And so I want to invite you into this text, into our life, and into a journey of laughing without fear of the future. Okay? Hey, friends, there are a lot of things to be afraid of. I don't know about you, like spiders, mice, heights. I mean, we were up on this scaffolding this morning, and I was like, oh, you know, and Zane was like, Mike, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I'm like, but what if the whole thing, I Googled, what are the weirdest phobias out there? I chose four that I thought were the weirdest. Can I share them with you? So these are some weird fears. If you're afraid of these things, I'm sorry I'm offending you, but I still think they're kind of weird, okay? So here we go. The first one, I wanted you to see them, because honestly, I thought they were more funny visually than me trying to pronounce them, but here's arachibutrophobia. This is the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. Can you believe that? I know, Stacia. Can you believe that? That's a real thing. Okay, the next one, I'm going to go for it. Okay, hippopotomonstraequipedaliophilia. Any guesses? The fear of pho? The Vietnamese soup? The fear of long words. Yes. That's it. The fear of, it's up there for you. Oh, it wasn't? Okay. The fear of long words. Okay, here we go. Some of you might know this one. Tetraphobia, the fear of the number four. The fear of the number four. Yes. And the last one, I like this one. Omphalophobia, the fear of belly buttons. Yes, I know. There was one, it was the fear of clothing, but I didn't feel like it was appropriate, so we're just going to keep moving on. Yes, good thing. Some of us don't have that for church. In some sense, though, you might not feel like you're a fearful person or an anxious person. Like, you know, I'm fine with like cliff jumping or trying new things or whatever. But I would say that there's a, I put together like a top 10 list of things that moms, but really everyone, could be afraid of. Here's 10 of them, okay? Number one, this is no particular order or emphasis. I'm just going for it. Number one, that something would happen to your child, like illness or injury or even death. Number two, failing as a parent. This is, you know, this can occupy your mind and heart. This is like a worry or fear that you're not doing a good enough job. So the term mom guilt or dad guilt has been introduced because of this fear. Anyone feel that? Am I doing enough? Okay, I just got one nod out of that fear. Anyone feel that? Okay, yeah. Number three, not being able to protect your children from the world. This could look like bullying or peer pressure, violence, or just like negative influences. Something that keeps you up at night. Oh no, I hope this, that, you know. Number four, this is real. Your child not being happy or not one day like living a happy life. So you want them to have this like amazing childhood, and you want them to experience everything positive that you experience. You don't want them to experience any negative thing that you experience. You don't want them to suffer. Like that just like breaks the mom breaks the heart of a mom. Not breaks the mom of the heart, right? It's just like, oh, my kid. I don't want them to suffer, go through pain. I don't want them to be lonely, or I don't want them to be disappointed in life, or, you know, you're just, yeah. Number five, fear of your child losing their innocence. This isn't just a sexual comment. It's an overall fear of them just growing up. You just want to bottle them up, and you don't want them to grow up. Number six, fear of financial insecurity. Maybe there's a fear that they won't like make it, or they won't have enough for their whatever, you know. Or maybe it's on your part. I fear that I can't provide for them in the future, whether that's, and you know, you just name the biggies, right? It's like a prom dress or a college or a car or, you know, and so you like, fear those things. Number seven, fear of being judged by others. So there's this fear, this insecurity, this pressure that you maybe is put upon you of these unrealistic expectations. And others are going to look at you and go, they stink at being a mom. And so you're... Number eight, fear of letting go. So there's a tremendous anxiety or fear that happens in the heart of a mom and a dad. But like, will I be able to, will they do okay? Will they, right? Will they be able to make their own choices? Will they function in a good, healthy, independent manner when it's time? Number nine, fear of life-work balance. Will they be able to manage their time well? Will I be able to manage my time well? Have I spent enough time with them? Have I spent enough time, right? Have I given too much to the, or will they, when they grow up, will they give too much to their career? Will they give too much to the, will they have a balanced work and play and parenting life? Number 10, fear of not being around for their children. Will I die? Will I, you know, will my legs work? Will I be functional, you know? And so it's like maybe this drives you. This maybe you're totally into working out, but deep down it's not like to like glorify God and take care of your temple. It's like so that I'm so fearful, right? That's 10. Here's like the ultimate one though that I think should occupy our hearts, but not, we shouldn't be given into fear. So this is the last one. I guess I should have said 11. And it's, will my kid know the Lord? Will they go to heaven? Will I be in heaven with my kids? And that's a big one. That's the biggest one. Yeah. So being a mama is no joke. And maybe when I read that list of 11, you're like, I'm not a fear. Oh wait, I do. Oh, I didn't think I was a fearful person. Maybe I do have some fears. The women's Bible study, they studied uprooting anger, and the overwhelming response, ladies, would you say it was 100% this response? I didn't realize, come on, finish it with me. Yeah, I didn't realize I was an angry person. Like, I think all the women said that. Like, I didn't realize that was, wow, it really was in there. And I feel like all the men should do it. I bought it. I'm going to start doing it this summer. I don't think I'm an angry person, but maybe when I start, I'm going to be like, whoa, I've got some anger down in there. And what we're doing is we're just surfacing. I think we do have some fears. And I think all those fears that I just listed out could be lumped into one phrase, like one word. And I think that's what the writer of the Proverbs has done. You could say all those fears are about the future, something that will or will not happen. I know for me, I've grown in this area. I'm certainly not there yet, but I would say the future has been my biggest fear. I don't remember like being gripped with fear over public speaking. I do remember being fearful as a kid of swimming in dark, deep waters, but that was right after Jaws came out and I watched that movie and I was like, oh, there's something. And so like, I would say I don't do great in dark, deep waters, especially when I feel something on the bottom of my feet. I'm like, it's just weeds or whatever those things grow. The seaweed, it's just seaweed. But like, there's something in me is like, probably it's a shark trying to like, you know, even if it's in a lake. But future has been a fear of mine. It's probably why your 44-year-old pastor has some gray in his hair. It's a future. Why is future such a fear? And I think it probably is a fear because it represents the unknown, or we could say the possibility of of loss, the possibility of pain, dreams that might be broken, expectations, whether they're biblical or unbiblical, that won't be met. But we've all got them. We've all got these expectations, hopes, dreams, and when things happen or don't happen in the way that we thought about they would, the dreams get broken, expectations get unmet, and we spend a lot of our time thinking about the future and worrying or fearful about them. And so the question today would be, in the Bible, how in the world, for a woman, how do I laugh without fear at the future? I mean, that's the question, right? So that's what we're going to tackle. And there's two angles to understand this question, okay? To understand what would it look like to be a woman that laughs without fear at the future. The first one is, I think what everyone's thinking is you're at this point of time and you're thinking about the future. And so what would it look like to be a woman of God that laughs when you have foresight into the future, like and you can anticipate, think through. The other way to understand this proverb is a woman who is at the end of her life and she is laughing because of how she lived. And so she doesn't fear at this point in her life what she's going to feel at this point of her life and how she lived. Does that make sense? So one is fearful about events and things that are going to happen, and one is fearful about when she looks back on her life. Okay? And both are true, and so it's going to be a dynamic that we can understand when it comes to this verse, okay? So let's tackle the laughter. What does it mean to laugh? Okay? Certainly, it doesn't mean this flippant way to live life. We know this contextually, like Proverbs 31 woman, she was not flippant. She was a hard worker. She woke up early. She, you know, prepared things. She was not an apathetic woman. This laughing is not a mockery of the future. Like, it's not an arrogant laugh. It's not like, it'll be fine. It also doesn't mean a life without any negative feelings. So like, to be godly, I just always have to be laughing. Like, no, that's not. We see all these sort of emotions and experiences in the scriptures. David experienced depression. There's sadness. There's lament in the scriptures. There's grief. So godly men and women experience all those. And so laughing deserves some contemplation, some time to explain what we mean about a woman laughing without fear at the future. This woman, she's not idle. She's not lazy. So here it is. I said everything it's not. Here's I think, a quick, sufficient definition. So if you're taking notes, you could say, like, to laugh, - joyful trust. A woman who laughs without fear has a joy in her that is very trusting of the Lord. There's a lightheartedness to her demeanor, to her countenance about the future. She faces it with confidence, and it gives her the ability to laugh, to have joy. And so when bills are around the corner, you know, medical bills or, you know, the car payment or the mortgage or whatever, when hardships are occurring, she has this quiet confidence that she can look towards the future and have this abiding joy as she trusts in God. This is a knowledge that... that God, what he has done in the past, is both a model and a pathway for what he will do in the future. And I've said this before, though he's too creative to do the same thing twice. This is a woman that laughs, that she remembers the great stories of old, not as just nice like fables. Let's say, this is what God has done. I've seen the evidence of your goodness, and I'm choosing to laugh at what is to come and not to fall into the trap that the Israelites did. In summary, this woman, it's like, in practical terms, like when you observe her and she's kind of walking down the hallway of your house, or you know, you walk by her at church, or you know, you sit next to her in the cubicle, or you're at her, you're sitting behind her at a softball game and she's watching, but in the margins and the space and the time, like, she's always just like, she's always got a song on her heart. She's like singing, "Great is thy faithfulness." She's humming it. You know, she's like, she's going to the Lord with her stuff. I think is just this, as simple as I could put it. I'm going to just say three statements about where this laughter comes from. And I just hope that we can all learn from this woman to walk with the Lord. the purpose is not to draw your attention to a woman and to hold her on a pedestal, but it's the purpose is for you to love Christ deeply and to know what source is this woman. So here's the first one. Hey, where does this laughter come from? Number one, there's peace that comes from his presence. Did you know that it is impossible, like next to impossible, to whistle when you're angry? Has anyone tried it before? I know no one ever feels like it, and so rarely is it even tried. But when you are like the cartoons, you know, when you're like red in the face and it's rising, like physically impossible to like bust out in. Nobody can do it. Try it. I dare you. Yeah. In the same way, it's really, really hard to laugh when you're anxious or fearful. And so a person that laughs has peace in their heart. And this peace is a result of a person that's just walking with God. And so moms, walking with God in motherhood is a must. Amen? I mean, we've all tried to do it in and of our own strength, haven't we? It's been a nightmare when we do that. And so the mom who doesn't strive in her own strength but trusts in the Lord, that's when there's a peace that occurs, because the ministry of a mother has to come from the overflow of the heart. Actually, it always comes from the overflow of the heart. It's just what is occurring in the heart at the time. It can either be like total fleshy, or it can be an overflow of joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. That's why today we're saying if a mama's got peace in her heart, that this mom is marked by prayer and petition, like Philippians 4 says. So do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. That's Philippians 2. Philippians 4 talks about anxiousness by everything, with prayer and petitions, present your requests to God. And there's a cool result, like a reality that happens. It's not just like, I present and that is just something that I do, but actually a transaction occurs that when you present, when you have a faithful prayer, like presentation, that God, there's this result that occurs. It's called peace, which we can take that word and go, yeah, that's this like idea of trusting and this settlement, this experiential feeling of like, God's got this. And so like today, we're just saying, this is like a massive call for moms, but of course everyone, to pursue intimacy with God in motherhood. Like that's the purpose of life, to walk closely with God. And so this Mother's Day, mamas, pursue God above all. Amen? Here's the second one. There's a rest that comes from releasing control. There's a rest that comes from releasing control. So remember the list of top fears? And we just said all those fears, all those 10, 11 fears, they can all be summed up with saying that is fear about the future. And we could also sum it up and say those are all things that I really can't control. All things that I would love to happen, you know, in a certain way. And I have expectations and I can't make it occur on my own strength. There's certainly things that the Lord calls me to do. There's certainly things that out of worship I'm to obey Him. But in the end, God's got to do this. I was thinking about Joshua. When he received the call in Jericho, the strategy, the plan, when it unfolded to him, okay? When it was revealed to him, the Bible gives no indication of his facial expressions. Isn't that a bummer? If I was Joshua, I'd be like, I'm sorry, what? Seven times? And then yell? Not a great plan, right? My sarcasm would have like been at an all-time high, and because my expectations are, well, God, if you want to win, you should like do it my way, and this way is stupid. Think about in the Council of the Trinity, even before there was time, the Father revealing to the Son, this is how I'm going to save my bride. I'm going to send you, Son. You're going to take on flesh. And you're going to be born in a barn, in a stable. And you're going to live a perfect life, but you are going to suffer like no one else has suffered in eternity. And you're going to take on a whip of this lashing. You're going to experience it 39 times from a cat of nine tails, and it's going to tear the flesh off your back. And you're going to be hung on a cross, and there's going to be nails pounded into your wrists and in your feet. And there, you're going to satisfy my wrath. And there, I'm going to redeem humanity. I'm going to turn my back away from you, and all the sin of the world is going to be poured out upon you. And there's no indication of his facial expression. Good thing that I'm not the Christ, because if I would have heard that plan from the Council of the Trinity, I'd be like, I've got better ideas. Those aren't my expectations. I would like things to go a little differently. But both Joshua and Yeshua, that's where Joshua comes from, that Jesus, both of them were rescuers, right? And Joshua came and rescued the people and conquered and divided the land and settled it. And Jesus came and conquered and rescued us. And he'll come again and he'll conquer. And my goodness, both of them submitted to God. Joshua to the Father, the Son to the Father. Even though expectations, if it were me, would have been so wonky. I mean, Christ's expectations, you have to say that his expectations were perfect and that he like submitted to the Father with perfect submission and joy and humility. But when it comes to me, that would have been really, really hard. So thank goodness that I am not he. And when we submit to the Father, we get rest. I'm not talking about a nap. Naps are great. Even sometimes in church, if you take a nap, just realize, like, when I see you, it's okay. I consider it a holy nap, okay? And like, people napped with Paul preaching, and so it's like, it's going to be fine. So if you need to shut your eyes for a little bit, you know, especially May and June are tough months to preach because all the dudes are mulching and mowing all Saturday. And so they get into Sunday and the air conditioning, and they're like, I'm just going to meet with the Lord for a second, right? I'm not talking about a nap when I talk about rest. I'm talking about this like settled, abiding knowledge, this faith that says you're sovereign. Within sovereign, there's the word reign. Like you are reigning, you're in control. And I'm going to sit on that control and let you have it because I've been white-knuckling it. And so the woman who laughs without fear at the future is a woman who releases her grip. How do you do that? How do you let go? It's trust. It's a joyful trust. The result, you laugh more. I don't think that's proverbial. I think that's straight up literal. It's a laughing woman. She's serious. She's balanced. But man, she laughs at the future. And at this point, we're saying, because she has this faith, this rest that comes from releasing control. A lot of things to try to control. This woman has learned to laugh. If you are interested in walking with God, you can sum up the whole Testament with one verse. What does it look like to walk with God? It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's how you walk with God in the Old Testament, is trust. Last one. Some of you, when speaking of the future, there's a fear because I'm going to have to do this alone. But this last point is this. There's a friend for your future. Isn't that great? She laughs because she knows that she's not alone. Therefore, she does not have to have fear. I heard recently that life and relationships are a lot like a train. I don't know if you guys have ever been to London, England, but it's like everyone who's been to England knows the woman's voice that says, "Mind the gap," right? Mind the gap. And it's London's public railway system. And life is a lot like this train where you're on it for a time and people get on it and you ride that train with them and then they get off. And then you're with some people for a long time on this train and some get on and then they get off at the next stop, right? And it's like, oh, I just, okay. And you just enjoy that journey. And the reality, the truth is, you will eventually lose everyone. Like, you know, we'll lose our mom, we'll lose our dad. We're not guaranteed that we'll grow old and die at the same time as our spouse. And so one day, one of our spouses, that was bad. Stay with me. Don't go there. We're not going that way. Okay. If we do, call me out on it. Okay. One day we will live and our spouse will die and we'll be alone. We're not guaranteed that we're going to die at the same time. But there is a friend that stays closer than a brother. And this is not like cheesy Christianity. This is the most beautiful truth that he is with us. And no other religion can say that. No other religion can read Psalm 23 and go, "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And so the Holy Spirit is on that train the whole time. And this should produce in us a great comfort, a great knowledge that we're not alone, and a great confidence, not fear, that we can laugh at the future. I think the Lord is doing a great work in my heart in this area. I was mowing yesterday and edging and doing all that stuff and praying, and I noticed that towards the tail end of my time just on the grass that a lot of my prayer life was asking it could fall under the category of my relationship with God and my view of him is provider, which it's true that God is provider. So that was like a lot of my prayers when I was mowing. But when I was like edging, I was like, you know what? He's more than a provider. He's my friend. And that shaped a lot more of my prayers when I had my ear protection on, my glasses on, and I'm just going, Lord, thank you for my friendship with you. You're with me. And it was different. And today, moms, that God is your friend. You need to know that. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you. And it's a great truth. Not just a provider, but a friend. Happy Mother's Day. We hope you have a special day. We hope you walk with God today, this week, that you draw near to Him, and that God's Word would, that this would fuel you in 2025, and it would shape your mind and heart as things come along, that you would laugh without fear at the future. And as the world looks upon you and sees you, they would see a different woman. They would see a woman that loves God. They would see the gospel going on in your life. Can I pray for the moms in this room, for the women, for like, would you, if you're a man, if you're whatever, would you just, child, would you put your arm on your mama, reach out, make sure everyone's touched in here, and we're gonna pray for you, okay? There we go. That's a good moment right there. Yeah. Let's pray. And so, Father, we just ascribe to you all glory and honor, wisdom and strength. It's yours. And in your wisdom, in your strength, in your desire to be honored, you have created woman. And Lord, we thank you that we get such a great glimpse of you through knowing our mamas. We see how they thrive at compassion, at care, at listening, knowing. They are so much better than us dudes at like verbalizing stuff. We stumble all over the place. But these ladies are tender and sensitive, and we praise you that we catch a glimpse of you through them. And Lord, we're asking this morning that you would equip these moms, equip these women, to live a life without fear, and that they would laugh with joyful trust at the future. Lord, I pray that our community would not fear the future, but that we would say, oh, great is your faithfulness and the mercies, they're new every morning, and we are so grateful. Lord, would you do that great supernatural work in us and in our moms? Yeah, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.